W0MDT.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview, Minnesota. Remember, there's a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. Net Control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call and put it on the list in the order received. And remember that chat window at hamoperator.com if for some reason you can't get in. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. I do have an announcement for the net. Hams in the Park will be coming up the second Saturday of next month, and I just happen to not have the date in front of me. That seems to be July 10th. We do it every second Saturday, get together out in the park, local hams, and it's turned into quite a big deal. Last week, we had 23 vehicles and 15 different operators doing something, all kinds of stuff. So set one up for yourselves, and hopefully we'll catch you soon. Anybody else with an announcement for the net? All right, hearing no announcements, we'll move into the check-in portion of the net. If you've got a comment or a question for the net, please check in now. Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now.
Kilo, November 4, Golf, Juliet, Victor, Rick, Orange County, Orlando, Florida. Question for the net.
Kilo, Delta, Niner, Golf, Hotel, Oscar, still in Chicago. No traffic for the net. Good evening.
All right, I got two of them that time, and I would like to make the announcement that it is field day this weekend. So join your local club, find a local club. Remember, you can go to field day at ARRL, type in your zip code, and they'll find you the closest one to you. Two stations, Kilo November 4, Golf Juliet Victor, Rick in Orlando, Florida, and Kilo Delta 9, Golf Hotel Oscar, Stewart in Chicago, with no traffic, just saying hi. Okay, Rick, Kilo November 4, Golf Juliet Victor, go ahead with your traffic for the net.
This is a technical question about Wires X HRI direct mode. I have an FTD, FT3D, and in one computer, the radio comes up in the FM mode when using HRI Direct, and another computer, it comes up in the DN mode. Certainly, the DN mode works. The FM mode does not. Has anybody else seen this problem of a FT3D or any Yaesu Wires radio coming up in the FM mode while in the HRI direct mode using the SKU 19 and one audio cable? Any questions about that? Ask me and I'll try to clarify. Back to net.
Well, I think I'm going to send that one over to Otis, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta. I know you've played with those modes. My intuition says it's just a setting on the computer itself that's gotten skewed and needs to be fixed. But Otis, if you'd take it, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Chuck, we'll try to help Rick out. And as best as I can understand it, I would presume he's running in portable HRI mode in relationship to that rather than the actual HRI 200 setup. But he was saying, has anyone experienced that? No, I haven't. But maybe this can help him out. If it's just the switching of the computer and you're on the same radio and it actually shows digital on one and FM on the other, on the WiresX software under file, I believe it's transceiver, you can actually go and set the mode. and I'm trying to do this as best I can from memory, but I believe that's where you set it out as far as the, there's a drop-down window there as far as the transceiver. Something to check. I believe it should be receive digital, transmit digital, and then it's one of those things as far as the modulation, it should be automatically be set to digital. So it's an FT3. I would think that it would automatically control that and move it to digital. I don't know if that's going to help him out as far as what the actual issue is. I know we've actually had some laptop issues running the portable HRI setup. And for some reason, Lance comes to mind as far as that, but I believe he actually said that was the computer itself. So if he hasn't checked that, I'll turn it back to you and let you ask, Rick. If he hasn't checked that, that would be a place to go and check. And then he didn't mention what type of computer it was, so I'm responding on the information that Rick actually supplied. So hopefully that's something to check, and maybe it'll help him out. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, thank you, Otis. I appreciate that. So back to you, Rick. Is that something that you've checked, or go ahead. Let us know what you're thinking.
First of all, yes, it is on the portable node, and yes, it is on a laptop. A laptop with an internal audio card that doesn't have a microphone input, so I use an external one. Nevertheless, I have checked that mode to force it into DN, but it stays in the FM mode. I personally think it has something to do with the laptop and the way the USB connection works. Right now, I'm using a Windows 10 server with an audio card in it that works all the time on DN. So there's just something weird about the laptop. It's an HP laptop that just can't figure out that it's in the DN mode, because I have put it in auto, I have put it in DN only, but it still comes up in FM mode. So I'm guessing there's something confused in the USB connection of the HP laptop. Back to net control.
All right, well, let's see. Otis wants to double check that you are using the SCU-19, are you?
Yes, I am using the SCU-19 cable with one audio cable, the gray one, as per the instructions provided by Yaesu. Back to net control.
All right, well, somebody else has some information on that. Otis came up and said that you don't have to use the SCU-19 if you are only going to do digital. You only have to plug that one in if you are going to do analog and digital. So maybe try unplugging that cable and seeing if that fixes it on that HP computer. Back to you, Rick.
If you do not use the SCU-19 cable, the radio will not turn on to direct mode. The WiresX software has to sense that the radio is there to get the radio type and put it on air. So that cable, I believe, is required. I still believe it's something in the USB connection, but I'll continue to look into it and give it another try. Working with the server, it works fine. So I have a solution. I just didn't know if somebody had that problem before and said, yes, they have seen that. But as soon as the other gentleman said they've seen problems with laptops, that's exactly where I've seen the problem is on a laptop. Appreciate it. Net control, back to you.
It over to Otis. He said, I can't type that fast, so he's got more information for us. So let us go ahead.
All right, Chuck, and I appreciate that. I'm a little fat-fingered here, so I can, my typing is reduced greatly. So it's one of the things that I was wanting to convey to Rick, that if you're going to go digital only and you're not worried about hearing analog traffic, all you need is the SCU-19. Now, some of the things that we have run into for the analog is, you know, the onboard built-in internal sound card on some of the laptops, it just will not function properly. So we went to some of the external USB plugins, and Chris has mentioned that, and I have as well. I picked up one off Amazon, and I think it's a Sabrent USB external. But, that you know, that's just for analog. The thing that, you know, you're looking at is sometimes, and Chris can and verify this, it's the correct driver install. And Windows 10 is notorious for wanting to assign its own drivers. So it's one of those things where you may actually have to go and uninstall that and actually try to get it to install the right driver for that to work correctly. It sounds like you've got it working properly on Windows 10 server. And then I don't know what version of Windows 10 you have on the HP laptop, I believe is what you said. So it can be trying. It will try your patience, but it could be something as simple as a driver install and not recognizing that cable properly. But myself personally, I have not run into that, thankfully. I'm pretty much, I do have one HP that I am running it on, and without issue, and the other two computers are both Dells. I know Chris is in the prototype of actually getting it to run over on a Linux issue, and it asked for volunteers and help with that, but that shouldn't affect Windows 10, but 10 has a mind of its own. It's not my favorite operating system, so Rick, that's all I'm going to be able to help you with, unfortunately, and hopefully you'll get that figured out, and if you do, come back and share it with us as far as what's the issue. Chuck, that's all I've got, buddy, and hopefully that helps Rick out. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, Otis, thank you for that, and hopefully Rick answers half a question anyway, and like you said, if you find an answer, come on back and let us know. Rick, back to you.
Well, just on a side note, when I put the radio in a PDN mode, in other words, digital-only mode, it goes into the DN mode automatically. It's only when I try to use the HRI mode that, you know, where you can use analog and digital, that it gets confused. So, it's, so I know the USB will work, but as soon as you try to use the internal sound card, or even an external sound card, it gets confused. I use a Rokot external USB dongle. So I had the radio checked by Yaesu, a guy named Endef, a great person in Yaesu, and verified the radio was working properly. So it's just something in the HP laptop and the operating system that's getting confused and confusing the radio. Appreciate all your time, guys. KN4GJV. I'm clear, back to net, listening to the rest of the net meeting. Thank you.
Well, Rick, thank you very much for a good question. Hopefully you come up with an answer or somebody else finds one. That does end my list, my one. So if you've got comments or questions for the net, please check in now. Give us your name, city, and state.
NADSH, Ted in Dublin, Ohio.
Again, on frequency, have a good night. 73 is all.
All right, we got two of them there. I've got November Alpha 8, Alpha Sierra Hotel, Ed, and Victor Alpha 3, Tango Golf November, Timmy from Ontario. November 8 Alpha Sierra Hotel. Go ahead and give us your comment or question.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Ted, Tango Echo Delta, and I guess I'll call this Repeater Feed Line Part 2. I'm wondering how you guys are supporting that feed line. Are you running it through conduit? Are you buying the, you know, the hangers to hang the hard line? Or what's the best way to protect and get that feed line on the tower? Back to net.
Well, Otis says he's got a comment, so Whiskey 4, India Oscar Delta, this is K04K. Over to you, Otis.
Well, I'll do my best to answer and give him an honest answer as far as Ted and his feline issues. Hopefully we helped you out, I think it was last week, as far as what everyone uses. But as far as the feed line, a lot of it depends on the tower, and a lot of it depends on the regulations in the state, and whether it's privately or how it's owned. The owner may stipulate to code, and if it's to code here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, you'll be buying a lot of hangers. Some folks get by with a standoff. Some folks actually connect it directly to the tower and run it up that way. So you're going to see a lot of variances in that. Depends on whether you own the tower or whether you get leasing the space or whether the space is donated. It's entirely up to the repeater site owner and the regulations, not only locally but state. So your mileage may vary on that one. I don't think you're going to have a standard answer on that, Ted. A lot of folks do it a different way. It's you can also go back and look at Chris says look at the manufacturer's instruction and the certain ways of hanging a cable can damage it. Here, all mine supported from all the way across, even into the shack. It's one of those things that you got to keep in mind as far as the weather changes, and especially in the wintertime with ice buildup. You got to have that. That feed line supported, whether it be Andrew's Heliax or whatever you're using. You just can't leave it dangling, and the windstorm that we had here will let you know real quick, 60-mile-an-hour winds, if it's not securely fastened. So sometimes it's better to do your homework, ask around locally, and then actually prepare for the worst and hope for the best. So hopefully that answers your question. W4IOD back to net control. Chuck, hopefully I didn't confuse him.
All right, Otis, thank you. And Chris also. Those are two excellent ways to say it. As I said, I have repeaters in two different places, and one of them I own, so I could do it my way, and the other one was told by the tower owner, this is how you're going to do it. So, Ted, back to you.
Yeah, it gives me some info. Yeah, it'll probably be our own tower, but good to know. And yeah, the info was invaluable. We got last week, we scrapped the LMR feed line and switched to hard line, so pretty soon we'll be getting it on the air. And I kind of thought the hangers were the way to go, and getting it that way, so that clears that up. Thanks a lot, NADSH back then.
All right, thank you. Glad we were able to help a little bit last week. With that, that's two. Anybody else have a question or a comment for the net? Go ahead now. All right, I'll try it again. Listen to Bakken Amateur Radio Society, Fusion Radio Net. We try to answer all questions, Fusion. If you've got a question or a comment, give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now. All right, I see that Chris, K9EQ, has got something for us. Go ahead.
Okay. Maybe a couple of things, just FYI, field day coming up. Maybe a little fusion activity, you know, come over to MinWiz or other places and see if you can work over there. Anyway, with the KN4 GJV with the HP laptop, I would tend to doubt that it has anything to do with HP or the operating system, although I love to blame things on Windows, and I don't like HP as a company that makes computers. Other than that, you know, if it's something with the computer, operating system in particular, it's likely that things won't work at all. You know, data's getting back and forth, so, you know, stuff is working. A thought did occur to me, and that is you can export and import the configuration file for the WireSX software. You know, there's all kinds of little buttons and things. So what you might want to try doing is to export the configuration on the Windows server and then import it into the HP laptop. And that'll at least make sure that all the bits are set the same. You can always save the configuration on the HP before you do the import, so you can always go back to it. That imports and exports everything, so it will be configured for the same serial number of the HRI-200 or the radio or whatever you're doing there. So just a thought on that, but I've got to believe it's a configuration thing on the WireSX software. It seems the most likely thing. Because of the supply issues with amateur radio equipment, and by the way, for the first time in months, you can now buy an ICOM a 7610. They've been pretty much out of stock. As far as the Yaesu stuff goes, what has been consistently out of stock is the FT-991A. I'll just talk about mostly the Fusion radios here, but I noticed the 891 has also been out of stock for a long time. There's spotty appearances of the high-end HF stuff. What's new is that the FTM-400 is unobtainium, so you're not going to find one of those around. The FTM-300 is not available. What remains in stock are the FT-3s and the FT-70s. I think that's new that the FTM-400s aren't around. You know, there's been rumors of parts availability, and it wouldn't surprise me that, you know, that is playing part of the issue. But the other thing is that Japan has been really struggling with COVID. And I don't know why. It seems pandemics and nuclear reactors have a hard time getting right. But inoculation, the people just aren't protected, so the stuff is just going like crazy in Japan, and I would have to believe that's affecting Japanese production, which, of course, the Yaesu radios are not, for the most part, not made in China. They're made in Japan. So there's good and bad with that right now, because China's having no problems making a lot of stuff. One last thing, try to save you some work here, Otis. A while back, part of a week ago, N9UPC podcast said that there was some kind of announcement, it's like, I don't know why you just couldn't type the announcement there so we could read it. Anybody listen to that podcast, I'm just curious to see what his big announcement was. Save the masses from having to listen to it to find out what it was all about. Back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
Okay, Chris, thanks for the heads up on those couple of different things. Chip shortage, pandemic, all kinds of things slowing down the ham radio group. Looking for anybody else with comments or questions for the net. If you've got them, give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now.
Whiskey America 9 Echo Roberto. Glendale Heights, Illinois, with a question.
Whiskey 1, Delta, Union Delta, Paul, Lynn, Massachusetts, with a question.
All right, got Roberto in there and Paul. Roberto, I missed your call sign, and my typist is having some issues here, so go ahead, give me your call sign again, and then go ahead with your question, and then we'll go to Paul.
Yeah, actually, more of a comment than a question. Sorry. Oh, I hope I don't have my my cane up too high. I have to remember to put that before I join in or turn up. I did experience a partial failure on my FT400X, and I'm going to have my associate replace the final. The power output on UHF dropped to 4 watts on all three levels. Won't go any higher than 4. And on 2 meters, it's dropped to 20. Won't go any higher than 20. It'll do the 5. It'll do 20. Won't do anything higher. So, I don't know if anybody else has had an X model have a final failure. This one is 1 year old. So I just thought I'd share that. We did get the new finals with the newer number. I've got those in my other 2 400s. We'll be putting a new one in this one. Even though it's in warranty, we're going to fix it because I don't want to wait 4 months to get it back. WNAE.
All right, I can understand that. Chris says I'll send it. I would send it in, but we'll have to see. I think you're probably on the right track as long as it's taking them to get stuff done if you need to use it. So, Roberto, let us know how it goes for you. I'll appreciate the heads up on what's happening. And next up is Whiskey 1 Delta Union Delta, Paul, Lynn, Massachusetts. Go ahead.
K0OK, W1DUD. Good evening, Chuck and everyone on the net. Paul in Lynn, Massachusetts. Chris answered one of my questions about availability of the FTM 300 and 400. Looks like I should have bought it when I was thinking about it, but we'll wait for the next batch. My question is, I spent a lot of time in AmeriLink, and I'm sure this has been talked about before, but I'm just curious. I have my suspicions, but a lot of the times I'm listening and I'm only catching one half of the conversation. My working conditions here are using an FT3DR as an access radio with the SCU39 cable. And sometimes I'll be station. I'm just curious if that's just people cross-modeing from DMR or using hotspots, or if there's an issue on my end. Back to you, Chuck.
I'm going to send this one to Chris. K9EQ, you've got an answer for this one, and you wanted to make a comment on the final for Roberto. Go ahead.
Okay, we really can't speak to AmeriLink. It's a very complex network. They're bridging everything to everything else. You'll notice we just connect YSF and WiresX together because pretty much anything you want to do, you can do with one of those two. You know, so it really depends whether all their bridges are working correctly. The most common thing is that, you know, like if you're, you know, when you're using the PDN mode or, you know, if you have the, you're connected up there but don't have the analog cables working right, you won't hear analog stations. That's pretty typical. So if you have a carrier but there's no audio, it's probably because the station's running FM and something's messed up. Now, it doesn't have to necessarily be on your end. It could be somewhere in the bridging they don't have the audio level set correctly. But most commonly when you're using the PDN stuff, it's the fact that they're on FM. If you have a hotspot or something, it's going to work either way. So it's that would be my comment there. So it's kind of impossible for us to tell. So I wouldn't worry about it. If you don't hear them, you don't hear them. With respect to replacing the finals, from your description of the problem, I don't think it's the PA. I think your PA is probably working just fine. Usually the PA is either going to make power output or the smoke has been let out and it's not going to make power output. It's almost when you have a thing like that, especially when it's doing really well on, it's doing much better on 2 meters than it is on 440. What that tells me is that the PA is not matched correctly either on the input or the output. So the coupling, either going into the PA or coming out of the PA, is not working the way it should. That I have seen happen a number of times. That can happen when one of the relays that's supposed to clank into place when you're on UHF doesn't clank like it's supposed to. It's probably not that, because otherwise the 2 meters would be working okay because the relay is declanked in the 2 meter position. But you could also have capacitors. Most likely they're surface mount capacitors that they have a lot of, maybe overheated or something like that, and that is the cause of the problem. So there are two reasons for I would recommend for sending it into ASU. One is it's under warranty and let them deal with it. If the repair is done in a way that they can detect it, your radio is now out of warranty. just keep that in mind. And if it isn't the PA, guess who's going to have the parts to fix it? I know from working on these things that there's all kinds of pesky little surface mount components that you just don't buy one of. And it really helps to have a surface mount workstation and one of these video microscopes for working on those boards, because the stuff is pretty small. Also doesn't hurt to have a high bandwidth oscilloscope, RF probes, and the like to debug the problem. So like I say, I've been through 20 plus PA failures. Most of these were when the program was first getting started, and there were a number of issues with them, which have since been resolved. That would be my impression of having just worked on the circuit so much, that it's not the PA transistor, that it has something wrong with the input or output matching. You could probably probe through it and get an idea what's going on, but I forget what radio you said. Oh, it's 400, yeah. Some of the components are on the back side of the board, so it's a little tough to debug because the board has to be in the chassis to make contact with the heat sinks and stuff like that. Also, speaking of that, you will have to pull the board out to replace the PA, even though the transistor is right there, because you need to remove the heat sink from the transistor, because you try to desolder that thing. I wouldn't try to desolder it. I would just clip the leads. But even trying to solder the new one, and you it's going to do a very good job of sucking heat away from the where you're soldering, and you don't want to get the chip too hot or anything, so it's probably good to pull it out of the circuit anyway, out of the chassis to replace it. So I'd send it into the ASU, and I don't think it's going to take 4 months. I would check with them and see what they say, and then maybe make your decision then. Back to Net K9EQ.
All right. Thank you, Chris. And Paul, did he answer your question on the AmericaLink thing?
Yes, he is. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chuck. Another good net. 73 to all. W1DUD. Back to net control.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate the extra question there. And again, that ends my list. Looking for anybody else with comments or questions for the net, please check in now. Give us your name, city, and state.
This is November 8, Sierra Alpha. Name is Bill, and I'm in New Haven, Michigan.
All right, November 8, Sierra Alpha. Bill, New Haven, Michigan. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, just wanted to check into the net here. I'm getting starting to get ready for field day here in the shack. I just got a brand new FTDX10, and I'm playing with that thing. See if I can get it working here. It's quite the learning curve, so I'm a little bit distracted. Anyhow, thanks for running the net, and I'll listen out here. And I say,
all right. Well, appreciate you chiming in and saying hello. Normally, this is a traffic only net, but. Welcome to Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. While we're doing that, I'll ask for people with comments or questions. Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now. All right, make this last call for the net. Last call for the net. If you have a comment or a question, check in now. Name, city, state. If we don't hear anything, we're going to pull the plug in and wait for next week. Go ahead now. All right. Remember, this net meets here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Time. We cover all things fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck, K0 Horror K. Everyone have a great week.